And the we have to, so in my work, I work with a lot of organizations in the Jewish community. We have gone now from nothing in the community to a housing initiative, to different and wonderful ways for people who have disabilities to engage in meaningful ways in Jewish life in the community. We are not done. We have much more to do, because as long as there's somebody still out there who wants to belong, who wants to be part, who wants to contribute, we're never going to be done. And it takes raising awareness, really raising awareness. And it takes eliminating the barriers, mostly of imagination, as Bill talked about. It takes breaking down beliefs that money is so highly involved in order to welcome people. You know what? Money should not be an issue, because there are always ways for people to belong. It takes person-centered planning. And it takes discussion. And one of the ways that we decided to facilitate this, it also takes intention. I don't know, you can pass this around if you want to. I wrote a book called The Jewish Community Guide to Inclusion of People with Disabilities, which is the nuts and bolts of how to do it. The other book is a book that we use for Jewish Disability Awareness Month and throughout the year. Bill mentioned Jewish Disability Awareness Month. It's called A Part or a Part. It's a photo exhibit by a woman who has a member of our community who has a disability, and she's a photographer, and she photographed different people participating in the Jewish community. Then she wrote a discussion guide as well. She created a book of the experience and then wrote a discussion guide, and covering all major faith traditions. So what I will say is this. We created Jewish Disability Awareness Month, which is now an international, in 4 years, has become an international month of recognition. It's February. And Jewish communities all over the world choose to raise awareness that month through a variety of different things. And if you want to know more, you know, we can share more with you. But just to say this, it doesn't matter if it's a Jewish Disability Awareness Month or if it's whatever faith, tradition, ability, awareness. The fact that this has taken off in just ridiculously large numbers indicates that there's a huge need to raise awareness, and that faith communities of faith are recognizing that. And the job of Jewish Community Disability Awareness Month is to provide resources to create questions and discussion that help people, all people, people with disabilities, people without disabilities, move beyond those barriers of imagination and embrace the ideology and the theology that says everyone is created in the divine image. If everybody's created in the divine image, we all better be showing up at the table.
So why is inclusion of people, and we should include all people, period. Every person is a child of God, gifted by God and blessed by God, and each person has a gift to offer to share. Someone once explained the community as being like a diamond, although my ring is kind of dirty, so I apologize for this. But what makes a diamond shine is all the different cuts in there. And we each reflect God's grace, God's love. And, you know, we are human and we have brokenness, sinfulness and stuff too. But we are all using our gifts. We reflect God's grace, and we each have something to offer. So every person is a child of God, gifted by God. And this is the view that we, as I'm a Lutheran pastor, I use in my congregations, is every person. And we get to know each person and who they are and what their gifts are. And then you draw out those gifts and bring them into community. We often think in clergy circles, if you're working with clergy, talk to me because I know these people. They don't need one more thing to do, and they're always protecting their time. So if you come to them and say, hey, I got a great idea for a new ministry, they will shut down on you. So what you, this is just not one more thing to do. This is just who we are. This becomes who we are as God's people, living out our life of love and grace, and we just seek to accept and welcome and support each one another. And we struggle to find that because, you know, and you can never find your own gift, right? You don't know what your gift is. You always see the gifts of other people. So that's what community does, is helps us to see our gifts. And then we find ways to use that. I've done some research in congregations where these congregations had people with disabilities or mental illness, and they found what that person felt they could serve God and do. One was a reader. One was a gentleman who would hand out bulletins on Sunday. And in fact, they'd gone to everything up on a screen at this congregation, but they kept handing out bulletins and hymn books for this young man because he would come every Saturday to get everything straightened up. And he was also would also be very concerned about the faith of the community and make sure all the announcements were given. So at the announcement time, the pastor would be up at the end of the church service giving announcements, and this man would walk from the back of the church when the pastor forgot an announcement. He'd step into the pulpit, and he'd set the microphone, and you'd just wait. And then the pastor would say, Bill, do you have anything more to say? And then Bill would give out the announcements, but Bill had a hearing, a speech impediment so that people couldn't hear. So you would hear something like, August, sign up. Thank you very much. And he'd walk. And then the pastor, as he was walking back to the church, he said, thank you, Bill, for reminding us that we still need ushers for the month of August. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back. That is pulling together the family of God and drawing out the gifts. He realized something needed to be announced, and the pastor was able to lift that up. And that's what it means to be the people of God, gifted by God, and sharing that gift and grace with one another.
Oh, were you going to clap? I'm going to clap with that example. So, what would you like to say about the inclusion of people with disabilities, what your faith tradition says? What have you seen about it?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which means it is Arabic and also beginning of the each chapter of the Quran, which means the name of God, most merciful, most beneficent. First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers of this program giving me this opportunity to share some thoughts. And also, Professor Bill, he made a very important point, especially the last part. And I totally agree with him when he was talking about relationship. That's what matters, not the beautiful programs and services. More important is our relationship to each other. And that hit me. It's very important. And I was reading one of the materials that was emailed to me, written by Dr. Mayasa Basna. Before the last page, page 24, there is a place that he mentioned in general, he said that last, page 24, last paragraph, in general, we find that the concept of disability in the conventional sense is not found in the Quran. I want to make that correction. Here in the Quran, there are like many verses that directly talk about these issues. And I don't want to see, let me say, first of all, I will have difficult today to give appropriate term or name to these members of the community, because Quran or Islam does not allow me to call them disabled people, just to make it a point. But let me share with you a couple of verses quickly for the sake of the time. One is from chapter 48, verse 17, it's a very clear. In Arabic, it says, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجْ وَلَعَلَى الْأَعْرَجْ حَرَجْ وَلَعَلَى الْمُرِيدْ حَرَجْ, which means there is no blame on the blind nor is there blame on the lame, nor is there blame on the sick. And then, this is very clear. And then, here, there is another chapter, chapter 17. The same meaning of, chapter 17 talks about one of the important verse, 17, as I agree, my colleague, just say that we are all that type of the diamond that has multi-facets. And the chapter 17 says, ayah 17, Walad karamna bini Adam, which means, indeed, God has honored the children of Adam, what you just said. They are all honored, respected, and they are all members of one community. And another one, another chapter, chapter 9, verse 91, same verse just that we read about talking about part of the community. That chapter says, same thing, there's no blame on the blind, weak people, sick people. So who's to blame? That's the question. And I was trying to find that answer. One of the scholars who wrote a good paper about these issues, he said this is the problem. These members of the people, he said, his name is Musa Mayan. He said these people, these members of the society, are not disabled. But the society, the rest of the society are disabled because they do not include them, or they do not accept them, or they do not understand them, how to benefit from them. This is very important. So the challenge is the rest of the community, but they are the same like us. But what we cannot see is what we need to find out. That how they are the same like us. And that's the challenge. And finally, in Islamic perspective, we have seen those ayah verses of the Quran. Prophet Muhammad, one day, there is a man, blind man, came to him while he was giving talk to the members of the community, very important members, because he thought that they are even more important to give them special time. They were elite of the community, rich people, wealthy, elders, leaders of the community. Blind man came, he ignored, not intentionally, but he was just saying like, okay, wait, I will talk to you another time. But God interfered and sent Jibreel to stop the Prophet Muhammad what he's doing, saying, these people who just came to you is not different from those that you are talking. He must be included. Inclusion. And final thing, in the history of Islam, there are a lot that I can share, but I don't have that time. Just I will list quickly a lot to share about these issues. First of all, I cannot say disabled people. Why? Because Quran says, Prophet Muhammad said, treat others the way that you like to be treated. So name the name that you would like to be called. So they're not disabled. That's the way we see. What they are missing is what we do not understand, that we need to find out, which is gift, and at the same time, benefit that gift for the interests of the community. There is a list of scholars. They were like, if you want to call it disabled, as some people call, but they excelled. And I have a lot of lists in Islam. And the latest one was the Mufti of Saudi Arabia. He was a blind, but he was a Mufti. Mufti is the highest rank of Islamic jurisprudence. That person can give opinion in every aspect of life. He passed away a couple of years ago. He was a blind, well-respected scholar. And there are other many scholars, governor or mayor of the capital city of Medina, the first established Islamic state, the time of Prophet Muhammad, the mayor was chosen and appointed by Prophet Muhammad, the man who came one time. The man that I just talked about, him became mayor and governor of that area. Program is established by Amir Omar Ibn Abdulaziz for those members of the community to be inclusive. Disability Benefit Act was acted by Imam Hanafi 150, that's approximately 1,100 years ago. And that act is, they must be part of the society and systems must act in programs to find out what we are missing as a human being, so we see them as part of us. Special Hospital by Abdul Malik Ibn Marwan. Personal Assist Programs, today we call BA, right? PA. Like he appointed, he said, like, government has to pay. Every member of this type of community must get personal assistance based on what we need to find out as a gift that God installed them. And there is a lot, and finally, there are for us, for the human being, for all of us, we are in a trial that we need to find out what's missing from us, not what's missing from them. Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's difficult for me to actually speak next to Sheikh Hassan. He's my scholar and my sheikh myself. And I also have the bad fortune of introducing myself because Beth didn't get my information on time. And the reason I say that is in our culture, in the Somali culture, to say I is considered something not good. So we have a proverb actually that says, he who says I excluded himself from the group. And we're talking about inclusion, right? So he who says I excluded, like I did this, I am the one who's like this. But anyway, I'll have to say, look, my name is Abdi Sulaiman, as he said before. And I am electrical engineer by training. Came to the U.S. in 1982 and went to City College of New York and lived in New Jersey, moved to Minnesota 2 years ago. And I work with the whole community, actually. I'm not an imam of a particular mosque. And I wasn't sent by Mosque Abu Bakr. I actually usually work with Masjid Rawda, which is on 26th Street and 25th Avenue. And I help with the youth programs there. And I work with all of them. I work with Imam Hassan and everybody else. And I would like, most of the main things Sheikh Hassan will say, of course, but I would like to add a few points. One point for including people is actually to understand the whole picture of our faith. And in Islam, it's very confusing, actually, for people who are not Muslims to understand Islam, even when we talk about other things outside of this issue. Like, you hear all the time, how come the Muslim clerks or the Muslim leaders do not say this or that? How come they don't condemn this or that? And the main reason is because Islam has an ummah and a community, but the community is horizontal. We don't have hierarchy. So if someone, for example, makes a fatwa, this is what you hear all the time. Like, the main sheikh, the mufti, makes a fatwa. I, as a person who is a lay person, have the chance to look at what he made his fatwa about and how did he reason it and what proofs did he use from the Quran and the Prophet's sayings. And if it wasn't strong enough for me, I will say no. I will not accept this fatwa. So we don't have a priesthood, we don't have a hierarchy. And this includes the people who may be disadvantaged. Like Sheikh Hassan decided also, like I would usually, not to use the term for disability. But living in the U.S., we have to use it, I guess. But because people have to understand what we're talking about. But people who are disadvantaged also are included in that level playing field. So everybody is on a level playing field. When it comes to worshiping God, when it comes to participating in the community, the only difference would be to use what the Quran says about people's responsibility that God wants them to accomplish. That God does not put burden on anybody that they cannot bear. So we always also have to look at that. Everyone has some limitations. Every human has some limitations somewhere. So no one will have to bear a burden that they cannot bear. But they are responsible to do as much as they can when it comes to the good things and avoid all the bad things. And this is what the Quran says and the Prophet says. Like, do all the good things as much as you can. But when it comes to bad things, there is no as much as you can. It just says, stay away from all of them. Okay? So, the other thing I would like to share about the inclusion is when people come to that level playing field, we, those of us who consider ourselves advantaged, should not make the other ones feel, we shouldn't show any pity. No pity. Thank you. I'll give you one example that happened in the past in Islam. This is the time of the Black Plague in the 13th century. A man who was a sheikh, who was well respected, got sick. Four of his children died, and he became blind because of the plague. And people felt bad for him. So elders and chieftains of the community felt sorry for him. So they came and they said, we feel sorry that you lost your eyes and your four children died. And he said, why should you feel sorry for me? He said, God gave me 10 children. They weren't mine. And he took only four. And God gave me my whole body, my eyesight, my hearing, my legs, everything I have, and everything else that I live on. He only took my eyes. So, no pity. And that's very important. Because as soon as you show that you feel sorry for the person, you're not really helping. You're making them feel even worse. And the other thing I would add very quickly and about the inclusion part is similar to this. But as in the Quran says, that those who give from their wealth and they do not follow it by stressing their benevolence. Like, I did this, I gave you this, I gave this, or are looking for some kind of reward. So they do not mar. The Quran says, actually, the meaning is those who give from their wealth and do not mar their giving by stressing their benevolence and harming the person they gave by expecting something from them. Those who do not do this will get their rewards from God, and they have nothing to fear, nor do they have to grieve. And I will stop there.
Thank you. Thanks to all of our panelists so much. Should we acknowledge them?
Yeah. I think we have time for maybe one or two questions from something you'd like to ask about anyone or a bill. So everything was really straightforward. Okay, well, yes, please.
Would each of you be willing to share?
We don't have probably have time for that.
Okay. Would you share one strategy that builds relationships that you have observed as building important, co-equal, level playing field relationships?
Okay, probably like bottom line, like one or two sentences.
In Hebrew, we say shalom. We look at an individual who we meet, and we look at them in their eyes, and we see their soul. We see the humanity they're in. And if we believe that about each person we meet, that is the beginning of a relationship.
Practical strategy is always, for everyone, food. We build relationships over food. Invite someone to a cup of coffee, to dinner, go to somebody's house for dinner, and in that action of breaking bread together, you will get to know one another.
Two things. Number one, I see these issues like issues assigned by God to church Today, the assignment that I want to give myself to everyone is search the proper name. And then later on, it will end up to the Congress to act new name for members of our society. And B, relationship that Professor Bill talked, how to build requires three things: time, effort, and sincere strategy. Thank you.
Yeah, the one thing I would say is there is a part of a saying of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that to all the community, spread among yourselves the salam, the greetings, visit each other's homes, and share food, as he said. So those three things.
I'm going to go in a different direction. When I teach the course Ministry with Persons with Mental Illness and Their Families, I always bring a panel of people with afflicted by and affected by mental illness to share their stories. And every time I've done this in the parish, you get somebody in a congregation who will share about their mental illness. That'll open up the door hugely. And then also, if you have people with disabilities and they're a part of your community and you have other people interacting with them, they just start modeling it. In some of my research, there was just certain people that knew how to react to people who were just a bit different. And then other people started watching and they learned how to interact. And so sometimes it's modeled behavior and sometimes it's just sharing the stories.
I'm going to cheat and add one thing. Because Bill said it earlier, I just want to reinforce it. I used to be a pastor 20 years, and one of the important things is don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Do something. Quit standing there.
One quick thing. You made a very good point. You remember like when we were talking a story about someone in the hospital and expecting the priest or to be visited. And I agree. This is the clerics or imams should know, or the leaders of the community. In Islam, we pray 5 times a day. And it's preferable to pray in the mosque, because mosque, we have like congregation. The imam, when he finishes the prayer, he has to face to the people. The wisdom behind it is, he is looking at all the people if everyone is here. Do you get the point? Inclusive. If anyone missing, and then we all community should find out where is he or where is she? Is he sick? Is he dying for hunger? Does he need like assistance? And that's the meaning of to have like congregation in 5-day prayers. And that's the meaning of be connected to neighbor all 24 hours every day.
Thank you.
One quick, really quick thing. Don't be afraid to ask somebody what they want, not what they need, what they want. And don't be afraid if somebody speaks to you and you don't hear them and you don't understand them, a lot of times they may know that you may not hear them and understand them, especially if you nod your head and pretend to. Please ask for clarification, because when someone has to say something, it's important in the dialogue and the communication you have with them.
Thank you.
Okay, well, in terms of in favor of being related and in terms of asking, I actually have a request of you is to turn to someone at your table or behind you, meet somebody new, and tell them what you got from being here today. What did you get from being here today? What do you see about doing? What do you see there might be to do or pursue? Okay, so just do that. We'll give you a couple of minutes for that.
Hi, I'm Grant.